You can turn to Luke 12. I want to read this verse again that I read at the beginning of the service, just to kind of set the precedent for this message and why I would have to say every one of us to some extent is guilty in this worldly thing that traps the whole world. Jesus is warning that the devil is going to lay a snare. Calls it a snare here. It's a trap. And he said he's going to get everybody involved in it. We like to think that, we live pretty straight and all this stuff. But Jesus has us down as saying it's going to affect everybody. The whole world. I don't like that statement. It isn't that I don't like what Jesus said. I don't like that I could be guilty of it. Being foolish enough to be caught by the world or conform to the world or to be ignorant of my deception. There's nothing I hate worse than to realize I have been deceived. It's a hard thing to accept. Who wants to accept it? Who wants to believe it? That you've been deceived. The devil's caught you off guard in his subtlety and deceived you. I try to pray and ask the Lord to help me. Lord, you know where I'm deceived about myself. And I need to know. I mean, we're not dealing with an amateur. We're not dealing with somebody who hasn't just started out in this thing of deceiving. He's been deceiving ever since the beginning of the world. Amen. And he's getting better at it. Till the Bible says in Revelation he'll deceive the whole world. You're living in that. That's so. To some extent, I don't like to say it, but every one of us is deceived to some extent. I'm not saying completely, but there's things we're deceived. We're deceived about ourselves. I'll say this real candidly, but kindly and nicely. If you knew your true self, in many ways, you'd change. I'll catch some of it. Holy Ghost has to about knock me down a lot of times to make me see how unchristian I am at times. And I'm not talking about open, wicked, violent sin. I'm not talking about filthiness. I'm talking about just things like, now my wife, the chemo has hurt her ears. And she doesn't hear good. Here, I've got hearing aids on, and I have problems hearing. And so when she says, what? I don't understand you. What? You know what I'll catch myself doing? The very thing that offends me that other people do to me is raise their voice at me. And so I told her the other day, I said, now listen to me. I want you to break me. I said, don't you let me get by with this. I said, when you see me start to raise my voice, you just point your finger at me. I said, I don't know what that means. Just see, she pointing her finger at me. But every one of us, you think I don't, oh, you've got a lot of things that need honing and changing and correcting. Yes, sir. That's why the Bible tells you that you need to learn to govern this tongue. And the person that learns to do it in a way that it never offends anybody has perfected it. Yes, sir. So I think we're a little ways to go. Do you think we're a little ways to go? Well, Jesus says here this is going to come upon the whole world. To everybody going to get caught in this snare some way, eating, drinking. It says suffering. Talks about drunkenness and the cares of this life. In verse number 34 of Luke 21. He said, it's going to come upon everybody. And then it warns you. See, he's sending a warning to the Christians. He said, don't get caught up in this. Don't you get caught in the eating habits of this world. Don't you get caught in the drinking habits of this world. And don't you get caught with being just controlled by the cares of this life, the interest of this life, what this world thinks life is all about. So don't get caught with that. Don't let him catch you in that snare. The whole world's going to be tripped up with this. You beware. You can see, and it doesn't take a whole lot of study to see how this world is involved in this. I think you'll see some of the message of this that I'm going to be preaching here. But Christians, we kind of follow suit. What's popular in the world? Probably if a new restaurant opened up with a new dish, something strange, and it was popular, do you know who you'd see in line? Am I telling it right? And so God says it's dangerous. Listen to me. This isn't a light thing. He said this thing is so dangerous. He said, as a snare it'll come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That's where you're at. You dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's going to come on all people to some extent. God forbid it gets control of us totally. Trust that God will waken us up before we get control with us. But he says what's going to happen. He says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape. Now that don't fit in any kind of doctrine today. You can't fit that in a doctrine today. But Jesus said, worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I guess you're going to have to give an account for it that you won't want to give. You're in Luke 12. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. Luke 12 is filled with the subject I want to preach on. It's just filled with this thing of obsession with possessions. Obsession means an irrational reverence or attraction. And so that you can see that we tend to fall in that category of being people that go beyond what we ought to and getting attached, controlled by the things of this world. If you was going to say what your position is as far as things, you say, well, preacher, I don't see where nothing controls me. Ooh. Deception. Deception. Believe me, they control. Jesus tells this guy asked him the question. He said, Lord, how about you getting after my brother and help me divide this inheritance? Verse 13. He said, you need to make him give me my half. You've never heard anybody getting in over arguments or mad at one another or family spitting up over inheritance, have you? You ain't never heard about that. Hey, none of us ever have problems with money, do we? You don't get to have any problem with somebody ripping you out of some money or no problems with that. You don't have any problems with money whatsoever. I guess normally inheritance is little money. Jesus, sometimes the words he says, I chuckle. Because I think of him today, he said, man, I love it. He said, man, he said, who made me a judge or a divider over you? I said, that's Jesus speaking. And then he makes this statement. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Jesus made it clear that isn't what life's all about. Life's not about a gain, get what you can what you can get. And I try to build yourself a little empire, try to build yourself a big savings, try to build yourself an all something you can show for. I mean, you need to follow the trend and stay up with the Joneses, and you need to stay in step. And every new thing, if I named all the new things in the last 4 or 5 years, do you have one? I guarantee most of everybody. Have you got a fryer? One of those new fryers? One of those fryers you can put one of those box-looking things. I don't even know what they are. That you can put French fries in and cook them dry. Air fryer, is that what that is?
Yes.
Don't raise your hand. How many bought a George Foreman grill? I mean, they were popular. Everybody had one at one time. Now you buy, and you ought to try to quit, but everybody bought a smoker. And that ain't one of these. It's something you cook in. I'll be honest with you. I'll be perfectly honest with you. Don't smoke my food. I don't like the smell of smoke. I give up smoking years ago, Lord my helper, almost 50 years ago. And I don't like smoked food. But it's popular and everybody's doing it. They put all kinds of spices in. Who cares? Did you see? Jesus said, that is not life, what life is all about. Life isn't about you getting yourself everything you can, following the crowd, just building yourself a little treasure house where you have all these special little things that you like to show and you like to tell people, I got this and I got this and I got this. And next year, it either goes in a yard sale or it goes, you give it to your kids or somebody else, or it goes to the dump. That very thing that was so special, you had to have it. That's not what life is all about. That isn't what it consists. Just buying and attaining things, following the trends of the world, hoarding up things, getting everything new that comes out. Jesus said life, true life, doesn't consist of that. He gets kind of rough with this guy down below, the next guy down below. He talks about that guy that built barns. And all this is in the same chapter. In fact, if you look over verse 34, he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so he shows how it ties it all together. The things you value, are you looking at me? The things you value's got your heart. But it ain't hard to prove it either. Just let somebody mess it up, touch it, harm it, hurt it, steal it, and you go bananas. I'm saying, It really don't matter what it costs. It don't matter how much money we waste on this stuff that isn't good for only a couple years. No, I'm telling you, we're all in this. I'm not pointing all my fingers at you. I'll point most of them back at me. I'm saying we're caught up in this thing, and Jesus said that isn't what life's not all about. That ain't what you're here for. You're not here just to buy and sell and gain. You have another purpose in life. What are you going to have when you get down to the end of your life? Notice this guy. Boy, the Lord was tough on this. Look at verse 20. God said unto him, thou, boy, that's rough. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then he really puts the sword in. And he says, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You worked hard and provided. You sweat blood. You did everything you could to get them. And now somebody else has got them, and you can't do nothing about it.
Yes, sir.
You can't take it with you.
No, sir.
Am I telling the truth?
Yep.
I'm showing you the trap of this world. And we're caught up in it big time. Big time. And we pride ourselves in it. And Jesus is telling you all to him, that is a foolish way to live. Just think that there's value in that. To think you can lean on that and depend on that. And that's what brings joy and happiness and life for you, is just to have these things. I believe John wrote down, love not the world, neither the things of the world. So apparently the world can steal your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So it has some kind of an attachment. The things of this world get a hold of you somehow. Maybe they bring a little pride in. I remember a guy pulled up in the parking lot out here, and he says, let me show you something. He had a nice camper. I walked up in this camper. He says, let me show you something. He says, I'm going to get you the best coffee in the world. So he got me a cup of that miserable, rotten taste in Starbucks. That is the strongest. You talk about coffee that about makes you croak. And the only reason most people buy Starbucks is all that other stuff they put in. They put Latin, they put everything else in. They've piled up this high with all kinds of junk that you don't even taste the coffee. You got all that cream and all that junk in there. You don't taste that. You don't drink Starbucks coffee. I'll guarantee you don't. You say, I love Starbucks. You lying. You like all that other junk that's in it. He says, Starbucks. I thought, oh, no. And I got to drink this stuff. This guy, you know, I'd be embarrassed if I don't drink this slop. You know. What did that verse say? Whatever you drink, did that want to say something? Life doesn't abundance. It isn't. Oh, my. I'm trying to show you that they can get you. The things of this world can control you.
Yes.
You can shake your head, no, never be, not me. I'll guarantee you that you have a lot of things that have fingers all over you. On your mind, on your pocketbook, on your heart. And if somebody breaks them, somebody takes them, something happens to them, you're going to be hurt. And you're going to value, look at me real good, you're going to have value a piece of junk more than a human being. You're going to think they're more precious. I started out with the subject of the young man that wanted Christ to help him to divide his inheritance. And there ain't one of you, sometime or another, have run across families that's had family feuds over dividing what was left from mom and dad. You've all know or been there or know of. You all do. And here you've got brother and sister that won't even talk to one another over a what? A dollar. So you sell your brother, you sell your sister for a dollar. Jesus said, that's not life. That's not the way I meant you to live. I didn't ever mean for you to value things and covet things, and you had to have things. You look in the Old Testament, and from the priest right on down, all the way down, all of them, the Bible said they were filled with covetousness. And that's what runs the commerce of this world. That's what runs the people of this world. Wouldn't you like to have this? Wouldn't you like to have that? You need this. This is life. This is what will make. You ever hear them see it? They even talk about a soda. This is life, to drink a Pepsi, I guess. That's life. Rot your belly, but it's life. Let me give you one example. I'm just going to skip way ahead because I want you to just remember this guy. Look to Matthew chapter 19. You know who it is, but I want you to see the reality of it. Matthew 19, and I'll close. Look at verse number 20, Matthew 19. And the young man said unto him, him is Jesus, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Now, he's pretty spiritual fella. Jesus told him to all above there, thou shalt not do murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, I've done it all. Now, you can call him a liar, but I don't believe that he was. I believe as far as he followed the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law, he probably told the truth. And so I'm saying to you, this guy isn't an out-and-out, down-in-the-gutter sinner. This guy is kind of spiritual. And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast. He lost us, all of us. Jesus just lost us all. We wouldn't pass. Do you think you'd pass that test? Do you think if Jesus said, in order for you to be my disciple, you go sell it all? Now, I'm willing to follow you, and I love you, and I'm going to obey your word. But that's going a little bit too far. I've worked hard for that. I put many hours in for that. Well, he said, now, if you want to be perfect, you want to complete, you want to do exactly what's right, he says, here's what you got to do. He says, go and sell that which thou hast, all of it, all that you got, and give it to the poor. Oh, come on. You mean I can't skim off some? Sell it. Don't put the money in your pocket. Go give the money to the poor. People didn't work for it. They won't work. But you give them the money. Lord, they don't deserve it. I worked hard for it. I'm talking about you being complete in your devotion to me, that there's nothing between you and the Savior. Get rid of it. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. You'll have treasure in heaven for doing what I told you. Come and follow me. Notice what he says, and I'm close. And when the young man heard that saying, when he heard what Jesus said, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Was he obsessed with his possessions? Was he controlled by them? Did they have a hold of his soul? Listen to me carefully. Did he not go to hell for what he had? A religious man walked away. Walked away from the only one that could save his soul. He walked away from him. Why? Because he had great possessions. I am not giving it up. What did Apostle Paul say? Paul said everything he had, he counted as dung for the cause of Christ. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not telling you you've got to do that. I'm not telling you that. I've got possessions. You got possessions. I'm trying to show you the difference on how much they can control your soul. I started out with that verse where it says, and stand before God. You're going to give an account. Another message I want to build. You're going to get an account of your works. Something they say that nobody does. You can't do it. Works don't count. You can't have works. Well, you're going to give an account of them. I'm just going to tell you ahead of time. You're going to give an account of them. I wish I could sing better. I wonder if I've done my best for Jesus, when he has done so much for me. Let's stand. You know, it's the old preacher that wrote about the cross, and he made the contrast between the old cross and the new cross. The cross today won't cost you anything. The old cross costs you everything. Jesus told him in Luke, I can read it to you, told him, accept that you hate not your husband, wife, son, daughter, and then he said it, he really nailed it down, and your own self. He says, you cannot be my disciple. That's the old cross. It's one of the songs you hear singing. Maybe you sing it. Give it all. Give it all to Jesus. there's it's more to Christianity than just saying, okay, I believe you. There's more to it than that. There's more to accepting Christ in a manner to where Christ can accept you. It's a big difference. We've got to be honest with ourselves. Time's short. We all want our prayers answered. I believe everyone in here wants to go to heaven, I believe. So I'm just doing what the Bible says. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. I'm trying to help us all, me, you, purify ourselves. Get rid of some of this stuff so we can stand when he calls. In Psalms 1, it says, sinners will not stand in the judgment. They won't stand. They won't stand. Won't have nothing to stand on. You're going to have to stand before God, give an account of yourself. I am too. I want to have a good record. I want to have a good report. I want to have oil in my lamp. I want to be watching and waiting, looking above. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd help us to be sincere, sober. As I talked to Bruce earlier about old Brother Burns, how he used to say it was serious business. Bless his memory. Bless his memory, a friend, a preacher that didn't come to the pulpit to tell jokes and to entertain, but to preach the truth. Cut it down. Why clumbereth the ground? I'll never forget him preaching it. Father, help us to see ourselves in light of God's word, how we look in a mirror. Help us not to go away deceiving ourselves, saying, I'm not that bad. Watch over each one. Strengthen, encourage, lift their spirit. Help us to draw closer. Everything you show us in our life, may we deal with it. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You are special.